She wasn't even going to think about having an affair. She simply wasn't. It was something she totally disapproved of. It wasn't only immoral and selfish, it was deeply dangerous. She was married, very happily, to someone she not only loved but admired, and there was no way she was going to break her vows and risk breaking Nigel's heart and put her marriage and her very happy life at risk. So that was that. Absolutely that. And if he phoned, which he almost certainly wouldn't, he'd been drunk and probably hadn't meant a word of what he said. But if he did, she would simply say that. Say, "No, I'm sorry. It was lovely meeting you, but I'm happily married and, well, I'm happily married." That would be enough, surely. She wouldn't have to go on. He'd know what she meant, and he'd probably come out with some jokey reply, and that would be that. And if she had to spell it out, well, she would. That would be the end of it. A fun encounter. That's all it had been. She might have been a bit silly. She had been a bit silly. But that was all. Blame the champagne. And luckily, Nigel hadn't noticed anything. He came into the bedroom now, from their bathroom, offering his wrists to her, so she could put in his cufflinks. As she did so, her fingers, unusually fumbly. Blame the champagne for that as well. She seemed to have a bit of a hangover. She suddenly found herself looking at him as if she had never seen him before. Was he really, as he had said so rudely, a bit of a caricature? She supposed, honestly, he was. Tall, blonde, well, blondish, going just slightly grey now. Very slim. Pretty good-looking, really. Perfectly dressed, in his Turnbull and Dasser shirt, his pinstripe suit, his Lobb's shoes. He had been wearing Lobb's shoes, he told her.
"Only posh thing about me. I get a real thrill going in there. Them getting the old last out. Lucinda, do concentrate, darling. I can't stand here all day."
"Sorry. There you are."
"Thanks. You having breakfast this morning?"
"Oh, no."
The thought made her feel sick.
"Hope you're not overdoing the dieting."
"Nigel, of course I'm not. I'd have thought you only had to look at me to see that."
"Well, you look pretty good to me. Anyway,
I'm hungry.
Not enough to eat at that thing, was there?"
"No, not really. Gosh, it's late, I didn't realise."
She mustn't be late for work today, of all days. She worked for Peter Harrison, the publishers, as secretary to Graham Parker, one of the editors, and he had an important meeting that morning with some Americans who were coming over on what Graham wittily called an acquisition mission. Being Americans, they had suggested an 8 o'clock meeting. Graham had managed to persuade them forwards an hour to 9, but she'd have to be there well before then, coffee brewed, biscuits and the best cups on a tray, and herself ready to greet them. It would be fun. One of the things Lucinda loved most about her job was the social aspect. There was always something going on. Book launches, marketing meetings, sales conferences, press jaunts, and the famous Frankfurt Book Fair, where the entire publishing world packed itself under one enormous roof. She'd been working for Graham for a year now. She was hoping to be an editor herself one day, but there were so many people with that particular ambition, and to be absolutely honest, hers was slightly half-hearted. She didn't intend to go on working after she'd had a baby. That was something else she disapproved of. Working mothers. She intended to be like her own mother, always there, putting her children first. Of course, the baby was hardly a reality. Bit far from it, actually. But come on, Lucinda. Don't start thinking about that now. You've got to get to work. She was ready 20 minutes later. She caught sight of herself in the hall mirror and tried to see herself through his eyes. Longish, foolish skirt, Laura Ashley. blue shirt with a turned-up collar, Thomas Pink, and her 21st birthday pearls, of course, navy sleeveless puffer jacket, flat shoes, Charlie Jourdain, blonde hair scooped back in a velvet band. There really was no way she could possibly appeal to him. Not really. Not if he was sober. He'd like one of those sharp 80s girls in short-skirted suits with padded shoulders. Girls with big hair and big ambitions. He wouldn't even be able to remember her this morning, never mind ringing her. And as she stood there, checking that she had her wallet and her keys, the post came through the letterbox. A couple of quite nice-looking things. Clearly invitations. A bill or two. A postcard from Verbier, from the skiing party she'd wanted to join and Nigel hadn't. And a letter from Lloyd's. Lloyd's of London. One of the whiter-than-white envelopes that arrived once a year, containing a statement of their account, and followed in due course by a large cheque. Nigel was a member of Lloyd's. It was one of the things that had pleased her father most when he and Nigel had had their little chat just before they got engaged.
"Not only all that land down in Norfolk, but he's a name as well. That'll stand you in good stead in the years to come."
One of her uncles had been a name in quite a big way, apparently. When she was young, she'd heard her mother talking about it and asked her what it meant.
"Well, darling, it means you become a sort of sleeping partner," Margaret Worthington had said rather vaguely. "They insure things. Big things, I mean, like ships and buildings, and they make a big profit on it. If you're a name, you get a share in those profits."
"What happens if the ships sink?" she'd asked, and her mother had said, well, there was more than enough money to deal with that.
"They still make a profit. Ask Daddy about it, he'll tell you more. I don't really understand it, except that it pays all your cousin's school fees," she added,